This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between. Let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's another wonderful weekend here in Wisconsin, and Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer, with Sam Schmitz on the boards, are here to bring you the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, just like we do every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. If you want to join the show, just give us a buzz at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Now, we don't have the computer in front of us, but you can also email us. I'll get to it during the week. You can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Well, maybe not live, not this week. Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Sam.
Morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, I got to eat a little crow, Danny.
Okay, eat your crow.
Last week, I was kind of pissing and moaning about why the DNR didn't buy Wally and Bees instead of building that launching that crappy spot on Freeze Lake. Well, we got a letter from, we got an email from Mark, and Mark says, the public boat launch has been there for quite a few years. I believe before Wally and Bees was even for sale. So, it's like, okay, thanks, Mark. So, yeah, I kind of screwed that one up.
Also, while you're at it, are you going to read any more of last year's regulations?
No. Oh, as a matter of fact, over at Sherper's yesterday, they have all the old fishing regulations and all the old hunting regulations. And I said, you know, you got to get rid of these. You put them in a box, get rid of them. I said, and call the DNR and tell them you want the new ones. I mean, or doesn't the DNR have any new ones? I don't know. But anyway, here's another one. Gee, I know that was so God, what a brain dead guy was. Anyway, this one is from James. He says, Dan and Tom, the Johnson Minnow, and I think he meant the Johnson Silver Minnow, was made by a retired foundry worker, Lewis Johnson, who started his creation after work one day, took a kitchen spoon, cut the handle off, and then hammered it into the shape that it's in and added a hook. This was 1920 Chicago. It went into full production in 1923 in silver and gold plating. Now there's sizes from 1/16 to 3 3/4 inches weedless and 13 assorted colors now. And then he says, thanks and good luck. But anyway, so that's where the Johnson Silver Minnow came from. Guy from Chicago.
Yeah, good old Lewis. Who could forget old Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis Johnson. So that was that.
I wonder how, it doesn't explain though, how Lewis figured out how to put that little arm on it to protect the hook so it became weedless.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about that. I mean, I'm sure he played with that, you know, to get, because, yeah, that little arm is flexible. I mean, it's rigid, but it's not so rigid as to You know, it, I mean, it'll move if a fish bites down on it, but yet it won't move if a weed goes by it or a log or something or a stump, you know. So, yeah, I don't, he must have played with that a while. And then, you know, it's kind of like the same story I heard about James Hedden from, Dowagiac, Michigan? Dowagiac, Michigan? James Hedden was in Canada fishing, and this is in the late 1800s, I believe. And they were having lunch in the boat, and he dropped his, he was cleaning his spoon in the water, and he dropped it, and it started fluttering down, and supposedly, legend has it, that a fish came up and grabbed it. So he says, maybe I should cut the handle off and put a hook on there, you know, so, and then Head and Spoons came about.
So, you know, you talk about making a bait out of a spoon. It, when I was a kid years ago, my brother actually did take the handle off of a spoon, and somehow he drilled a couple of holes and put a treble hook on one and actually did make a spoon himself.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, you know, in the bass fishing world, you really don't hear about spoons much. You know, spinnerbaits, crankbaits, plastic worms, topwaters, you know, stuff like that. But actually, there is a spoon. It's called a flutter spoon that a lot of bass, pro bass anglers down south will use. As a matter of fact, there was just a big tournament one. I can't remember the guy's name. It was last week. And the guy used a crankbait, a plastic worm, and this flutter spoon to catch all of his fish. So, you know, we don't hear them a lot in bass fishing, but there are still some being used in bass fishing.
Well, I guess whatever works works. You just got to be willing and try different things. I think sometimes as fishermen, we get caught up in our ways, and we just do certain baits and certain things, and we don't think outside the box enough.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. But, you know, like we said last week, but guys will still buy all the new stuff, all the new colors, but they rarely ever use them, you know, or use them. Huh?
You want to know what'll get you thinking outside the box?
What's that?
Do a musky tournament sometime. After about 7 hours of casting and seeing nothing, you'll be tying a treble hook to your big toe and dragging it in the water because you get so goddamn desperate.
Oh yeah, that's right. And if you're actually catching them, that's fantastic. But let's face it, most of the time you're just casting and retrieving. So yeah, and you are trying a lot of different ones during a musky tournament, definitely. Hey, you know, we got some sad news, too. The sad news is Evinrude is calling it quits. There was an abrupt closing by Evinrude Outboard Motors in late May. Put 387 people out of work in down in Racine, Wisconsin. And so, yeah, they called it quits. And Evinrude's total workforce was about 650. But yeah, it is surprising that it happened. Now, let me just give you a little background first about Ole.
Ole Evinrude.
Yep, founded by Ole Evinrude in Milwaukee.
I think he was good friends with Lewis Johnson.
Could have been, who knows. In 1907, Evinrude with his wife Bess made the company one of the, you know, first commercially successful mass-produced outboard engines in this country. And he said he sold the business in 1914, and they became part of the Outboard Marine Corporation, OMC. And then in 1935, declared bankruptcy, and in 2000 were picked up by BRP, I don't even know what that stands for. I think it was some French company or something. Anyway, but that's very surprising, Dan, that here's this company that's been around forever, went up and closed. And now I got to wonder if there wasn't something else going on, because all these other companies, because of the virus, haven't been closing up, you know, big companies. Why did Evinrude do it, you know? Was it, I mean, I guess it must have been, it wasn't profitable, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much, but, Tom, when a business closes, call it a hunch, but it's normally a pretty good guess that they were losing money.
Well, either losing money or not making as much as they wanted. And you know, Evinrude was the one outboard that didn't go to four strokes. Their E-Tech engine was still a two-stroke, but a super powerful two-stroke and a low fuel consumption two-stroke. It was an excellent engine and self-winterizing. I mean, they really had it going. That's why I don't understand. I think their sales were actually doing well. That's why I don't understand why they'd all of a sudden just up and close, you know? I don't know.
Well, especially with the fact that, from what I understand right now, boat sales are going great.
Yeah, exactly. And they own several. As a matter of fact, did you know Evinrude owns Alumacraft?
No, I did not.
Yeah. And, of course, with Alumacraft, you get special deals when there's an Evinrude on it. But, you know, you can get other outboards on it. But you get a special deal if there's an Evinrude on it. But, yeah, they own a number of boat companies, which now, I guess, they made a deal with Mercury to have Mercury engines supplied on those boats, you know, for a special deal.
I think that Mercury is going to support. Somebody told me this. I could be wrong. That Mercury is going to providing service support for the Evinrudes.
Yes, yes. Their service contracts, like if you bought one and this year or last year and you got, let's say, a 5 or 6 year warranty, it'll still be honored. Yes, you're not going to lose out on your warranty. Yeah. And they'll have parts for, like, I forget what they said, 10, 15 years or something like that.
I actually had a guy fishing with me about 15 years ago. And I think he was about, late 70s, mid to late 70s. And I took him out, a couple muskies out here on Pewaukee. But he had retired from working at Evinrude.
Yeah.
And him and John Lehman had a lot of good talks upstairs in Monkey Island about, you know, different people in the business, in the industry. And he knew the head honchos at Evinrude. In fact, he had started as a kid college just working part-time, and he had actually worked his way all the way up to top management when he retired from there. It was really interesting to talk to the guy.
Wow. Yeah, I was just surprised to see Evinrude going by the wayside, you know. That I don't know, that's kind of a sad day for that to happen. Got another one if you want.
Sure.
How would you like to be sitting in your house cooking breakfast and all of a sudden have a 150-pound black bear knock down your screen door and come and visit you? It happened in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And of course, the DNR of that area had to be called. They had to come over and shoot it. It didn't want to leave the house. You know where they found the bear? When they broke the woman who was cooking breakfast, she ran out the back door when the bear came in the front door. And when the DNR officials came in, the bear was sitting on the couch. He was just like relaxing, sitting on the couch.
Probably trying to figure out how to use the remote.
Yeah, probably. But
you know what? All she had to do is take that frying pan full of bacon and just walk outside and put it on the porch, and the bear would probably
follow her out there, right?
I'm guessing that's why it came in. If she's cooking, and the sense, a bear's sense of smell is nothing short of incredible. Even better than a deer. I believe that's right up there with the best of bloodhounds, maybe better.
Yeah. Well, they did say in the article that they had cat food outside for their cat, and they had some other kind of food outside this door. For, I don't know if it was a dog or another cat or whatever. But anyway, they had something out there. So they think that's what attracted it first. Then when it got close, it smelled the bacon, of course. And it's like, you know, party's on. Let's go get some.
That your bear story segues into this perfectly. I had mentioned maybe a month or so ago that they weren't taking applications for the 2021 bear hunting season as of yet, because they were drawing the zones. Well, apparently they've finished drawing the zones, the new boundaries for the 2021 season. So not this fall, but the one after that. And so the application period for the 2021 bear hunting season will open July 1st. And then it'll be, the deadline will once again be December 10th, 2020. Bear hunters, before you put in your application, especially if you're going to try and go for a kill tag, make sure you study the new map with the new zones, because you don't want to put in for the wrong zone. For example, where I hunt up in Douglas County, I'm looking at the map now, looks like that's going to be Zone A for Bayfield and some of the others. So bear hunters, don't forget, and you're better off to pay the $3 or $2 or whatever now to get your preference points, because I guarantee when December 9th comes and you think to yourself, oh, I got to make sure I do that tomorrow, December 11th will dawn and you will be like, crap, I forgot to put in.
Yep, it's words of wisdom, that's for sure.
I know this from experience, Tom. Every other year I forget.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, we got to go to a break right now, though. And a beautiful day out on Pewaukee Lake. There's a light breeze going, and looks like people are starting to get ready to start going out fishing and doing whatever else they're going to be doing
it's
on the water.
It's light and variable
today.
On the Edens. We have one rollover on the expressway.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to be right back, folks. We're brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants. We are the cutting Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors on 105.7 FM The Fan. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Cutting Edge Outdoors, coming to you from the Baitmate Fish Attractant Studios, which is basically my living room. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today. Once again, we always try and thank those that are out protecting us, law enforcement, healthcare workers, first responders, people. We thank all of them for what they do, and we thank all our listeners as well.
Hey, you just reminded me of something, Danny, and maybe one of our listeners can help us out here. Today, down at a park in Kenosha, and this is where we need the help, the park, and I think it's at 11 o'clock, there's a big rally called Backing the Blue, and David Clark is, remember former Sheriff David Clark?
Yep.
He's going to be speaking at it. Vicki McKenna will be there, but there's going to be a lot of state representatives in that. I don't know all who else is going to be there, but there's going to be a bunch of not celebrities, but politicians and whatever. But David Clark, just to hear him speak, it'll be good. So that's at a park down in Kenosha, and I'm pretty sure it's at 11 o'clock today, called Backing the Blue. And maybe somebody knows what the name of that park is, and they can give us a call at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. So.
I also heard, Tom, this is bar talk from yesterday. I was at Carly's out in Pewaukee here. My buddy Jake owns that. Somebody was saying that they wanted to do that in Brookfield, but the Brookfield Police Department said no, they didn't want.
Maybe they didn't want the big protests are going on.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think they just would rather leave. Leave sleeping dogs lie and just, which I guess I can kind of understand that mentality on it.
Yeah, I can, I got another one here, Danny, for you. This shows when 10 guys from Wisconsin up by the Medford area get stupid. They figured, let's go to a lake and just rape it. A little lake, I forget if it was like 50 acres, 80 acres, something like that. Pretty small lake, right? And, let's take this caller first so we can find out.
We got Jim in Greenfield.
All right. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. So I have that information on that park you're looking for?
Yeah. What's the name of that park?
It's called Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Park. It's located in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The address is 900 57th Street, 57. That's in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53140. And you were correct, it's at 11 a.m.
All right, well, thank you very much for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you have a good day. All right, so back to these 10 yahoos. They figure they're going to rape this lake, Danny, right? So,
yep.
So they go out, and they're going to catch as many largemouth as they can. They kept 90 of them, just a few over the limit, right? So two anglers, though, kept 33 of them. I guess they were doing pretty good, so they kept 33. And, of course, the DNR caught them. They're going to be paying some fines, restitution per fish, and all that other stuff. So just a bunch of yahoos going out to rape a lake. You know, little lakes like that cannot sustain heavy pressure. And that's where, okay, you take a big body of water. Yeah, you can take some largemouth out of it to eat, no problem. Maybe even a limit sometimes, you know, out of a large body of water, let's say 3, 4, 5,000 acres. But when you get to these little lakes that are 50, 70, 80 acres, keeping a limit out of that lake is not good, especially if it's done a lot by a lot of people, you know. I mean, 90 fish out of this lake, that was important, you know. It's a big hit, you know. There's not, you know, all that, you know, those fish are, it's not an infinite number of fish in those lakes. So, you know, it's kind of like going to Winnebago and keeping 5 walleyes. Well, that's not going to hurt anything, you know, because there's millions out there. So, but now, you can't keep 5. You can only keep 3. So. You did know that, right, Danny? Only 3
What's
walleyes
that?
Now?
You can what?
You can only keep 3 walleyes now out of Lake Winnebago.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that went into effect this spring, didn't it?
Yeah, they went into that. Hey, listen, Danny, it's 6:24 right now. This would be a good time to take that break before the gut report, because we're going to have a special guest on right after the gut report. We got Lynn Denbeck coming on, who's going to tell us about optics. And you were talking about them last week, about how some of these more expensive sunglasses, the polarizer ones, are really worth it. So she's going to give us some insight, because she actually works at a place that deals with that, right?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. So we'll be calling her about 6:35.
Right. Okay, so we'll take a break now. We'll do the gut report, and then we'll call Lynn. Hey, sounds like a plan here on the Skipper Buzz.
It's 6:35, Tom.
Yeah. What?
It's 6:24 now.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to take 3 or 4 minutes for the commercial, 3 or 4 minutes for the gut report, and then by the time when it's all done, it'll be 6:35.
Okay, you got this all figured out.
Yeah, I got this planned in my head.
You're like a genius.
Like a calculator up here, you know. Sometimes it runs out of battery, so.
Long as you're not reading last year's regs.
Right. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Listening this morning, hopefully you're getting out to do a little bit of fishing. You were talking about Discount Liquor, 60 years in business. Is that correct, Tom?
Yeah, they're celebrating a birthday. 60 years by the same family, locally owned, right here. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, that's a long time to be in business, you know?
You know, normally. I think it's great to support those family-owned businesses.
Yeah, and to think, you know, normally some of these businesses that have been around for 60 years, they've been sold several times, you know, to other people. This one hasn't. It's been stayed in their family. You know, that reminds me, same thing with Sherpers. They've been around since 1935, and they're 80-some years, you know, and it's like it's the same family that owns them, same family. So, yeah, it's good to see that.
Let me ask you, Tom, are you still involved in charge of the fishing department at Sherpers?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay. So you're the one who should have actually requested the new regulation books.
Well, I did. I asked the manager to take care of that.
So. Well, that's why you're working for the manager running the fishing department. You're the guy who should request them.
I like to delegate authority.
Delegate it to the boss, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you got to put the bosses in their place.
Hey, speaking of family-owned businesses, my good friends over here at Park Avenue Pizza, I talked about them.
Yeah.
They had that nice surprise retirement party for me. I always talk about the best-kept secret. If you want to get some great roasted chicken, they do it handmade. That's why they don't push it or sell it by the bucket, but get on over there. But kind of interesting, Tom, and maybe some of our Pewaukee residents can kind of be aware. There's been some, young folks, maybe teenagers lately, that have been trying to break into the place, actually. Somebody in the condo, oh, maybe 2 weeks ago, I think it was, woke up or whatever and looked out the window, and somebody was on the back garage behind Park Avenue Pizza, and there were some kids trying to break into a window, so she yelled and left. And then they were back a while later on another day, and then I believe they were going out trying to go through the boat on the piers out here by the beachside bait and tackle. So they did report them. I don't think, from what I know, I don't think they caught them necessarily yet. If any local residents are listening, make sure you're kind of on the alert, because, you know, people are safe. And one nice thing, though, I will thank the Pewaukee Police Department. They are driving through regularly now. I'll wake up at night and hear vehicles in the parking lot and look out the window, and the Pewaukee Police are doing drive-throughs, which is a good thing.
That's right. Because let's face it, when something goes wrong, when you're in danger or somebody's trying to steal something or there's a problem, who's the first people you're going to call? The police. Well,
yeah, that's why for all those dummies out there who are saying defund the police department, okay, let somebody break into your garage and steal your lawnmower. Who are you going to call, meathead? I mean,
you're not going to call Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you know, not that you want to wish ill will on anybody, but if anybody was going to have something stolen, I really wish it would be one of these idiot liberal politicians or whoever who are saying, get rid of the police department. That would be karma, you know, going around. Don't even think about calling 911 because, after all, you don't like those guys.
Hey, talk about an oxymoron, maybe. Maybe I'm using that word wrong, but there's a small town in Seattle, near Seattle, in Washington, okay, near Seattle. There's a small town, and I think it's predominantly black people that live there. And they wanted to get rid of the police. So they got rid of the police department there. Well, a black man was shot 5 times by another black man. Now, this black man who was shot 5 times, he's complaining because the police weren't there to help him. After they got rid of the police department. It's like, I just shake my head. Don't understand it at all. So we're going to be trying to call Lynn Denbeck now in about a minute and see if we can get her on the line. Did you try again?
I did.
Yeah. But,
In the meantime, I'm going to talk a little bit about fishing out on Pewaukee here, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get a hold of her. I was out fishing this week, and right now there's a lot of I did do some casting on the East End with a client, and we did raise little dink-sized muskies. But then I went out in the West End for the first time this year, actually. I really haven't been getting out. I know, like we mentioned, Jim Dembeck's been out, of course, and he's always catching fish. But you go on that West End, and it's just full of bait suspended out in deep water. So I was trolling this week, and in one afternoon, we had 2 fish on, and 2 fish off.
Oh,
wax
no.
On, wax off. But had a heck of a time out there. And here's an interesting thing, Tom. One of the guys that I was fishing, I won't even mention his name, but super nice guy. He knows somebody famous. He's met somebody that you would never, well, I should say infamous. Think about, Tom, who is the most infamous person in Wisconsin history?
That's alive now?
No.
How about Ed Gein?
How about, correct. He actually worked at the Mendota. He's telling me how he worked at the Mendota Mental Institute at one time. And I just casually said, did you know Ed Gein? And he goes, yeah. He says, that's my claim. I was his personal assistant when I was there. He said he was a small, little, quiet, meek guy. And I was thinking, He should have got his autograph. Can you imagine if you had Eddie Gein's autograph? I mean, you could maybe sell it to Stephen King for $1 million. Of course, I guess, would that be inappropriate, getting a mass murder autograph, or would it be worth money?
No, that's not inappropriate. That's fine.
I don't know.
I'm surprised.
It might be in bad taste. I don't know. What are you going to have him autograph, a chainsaw or something? I don't know.
A lampshade.
Oh, jeez.
I'm surprised Sam didn't give me a little ring that because I got that correct, you know? I mean, out of all the people, I could have said Liberace or something, you know?
Well,
but I picked the right one. I didn't even get credit for it.
I thought you were going to say Jeffrey Dahmer because rather infamous as well. But yeah, Eddie.
Yeah,
Gein,
that's
another
one.
You know, they said the movie Psycho was based on him.
I don't.
Maybe the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, perhaps as well. But I'm surprised they've, as far as I know, they've never done a movie or a documentary about that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is.
There is.
The Ed Gein story. I've seen it. It's very good, too. Yeah, it's very good. I don't know if they call it the Ed Gein story or what, but maybe one of our listeners would know the name of it. But, yes, I have seen it, and it is good. Yeah. It's
okay.
Good.
What was it like on Discovery Channel or some Netflix deal or what?
I don't remember. It might have been on something like on Netflix or the Fire Stick or something. Or one of the cable stations. I don't remember. I don't remember.
You know, my buddy from college, Tim Coleman, he grew up in that neighborhood, and he said his little kids, every time they heard the siren go off, that someone had escaped, they'd all be terrified and run home because they thought Eddie Gein was on the loop.
Yeah, well, you know, he wasn't such a bad guy. He just wanted to make furniture out of you, you know?
Oh, come on!
He's just making furniture.
Let's not. Oh, my God. Now we're going to get complaints.
Oh, no, I don't think so. But maybe somebody, 799-1250, 799-1250, if you know the name of the Ed Gein story, the name of the movie, that might even be it, you know, for all I know. That might be
it. Now, this segues perfectly into the what report we should get in the second hour. Now, like the Mendota Mental Institute, that's out near Governor's Island, isn't it, or Governor's Point or whatever?
Yeah, somewhere out there, yeah.
Okay, because I was talking to a gentleman last night who is going to call us, hopefully, in the second hour, and he's got a perch report from Lake Mendota. And you won't believe it, Tom. You won't believe the report.
I'll believe it. I'll believe it.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait to see.
Unless he's talking about aliens catching all the perch. So.
Well, did you ever see an alien when you were out fishing, Tom?
I don't think so.
Well, Steve Milliot got abducted.
I know. Steve Milliot got abducted. Yeah, I remember that.
Him and his buddy got abducted.
Yeah, I remember.
Yep.
Did he get probed?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a difficult subject. Tom, you really don't ask another guy about that kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of like asking him about his vasectomy.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
you're just trying to, how about them bears? You try and change the subject. Yeah.
I just wanted to bring something up, that if people are looking for photography, our good friend Dave Olson at Studio 360 in Pewaukee, he's open for business. He does, graduations and all that stuff. He does family portraits, weddings. Maybe you just want a photo of your mom and dad, you know, to commemorate their 50th wedding anniversary or something, you know what I mean? He does all that. Anything photography, he does it. Just Google Studio 360 Photography in Pewaukee, and you can get in touch with Dave. And I tell you, Dave will do a great job. He's been doing this his whole life. It's all he does is photography. Oh, and muskie fishing, but mainly photography.
He does these beautiful collages, like for let's say you got a high school senior graduating. He'll do like these really cool kind of collages where it's a collection or a blending of pictures from athletics to, you know, to all these different things. And things that the kid has done, I shouldn't say kid, but the person has done in their life, and he comes up with these great, I mean, he just does unbelievable work. So anybody out there listening, looking to do something special, maybe especially for a high school senior or somebody who you know, kind of lost out on their graduation. They had to do some stupid virtual graduation. This would be the perfect thing you can do to show thanks to them.
Yeah, yeah. Studio 360 Photography in Pewaukee. Definitely a place to go for that. Let's see, you know, there was something else I was going to bring up that, you mentioned it. And what did you mention?
Eddie Gein.
No.
Lampshade.
No, not Lampshade.
I'm going to start a company called the Gein Lampshade Company. New from the Gein Collection.
Oh, goodness. What was he thinking anyway, you know?
Tom, I don't
what
know.
What the heck was he thinking?
You don't ask. They're thinking.
Well, they got to be thinking something. It's like, boy, today I'm going to go out and get some of these bodies and make lampshades and lamps out of them.
I don't know. All I got to say is, something went wrong during toilet training or something early on in their life. Something went tragically awry. Something went amiss. Wrong there. Yeah.
Definitely. So.
Hey, let's see. On a serious note.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Serious note, the July 1st deadline to join your county's Deer Advisory Council is coming up fast. So if you'd like to get on your council, you can submit an application. And it says applicants must have experience or involvement with at least one of these things. Agriculture, forestry, tourism, transportation, hunting, Wisconsin right. Deer Management Assistance, or local government.
All right, we got Lynn on the line right now, so let's take her for a few minutes before we go to our Hornswoggle break, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, good morning,
hey, good morning Lynn.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Hi, Dan. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine.
Good. So, anyway, got some questions for you. For our listeners who don't know Lynn, she's probably one of the most accomplished female muskie anglers. No, let's not just say female. Let's just say any male or female muskie. Country, and she's caught more huge muskies and a great angler as is her husband Jim. But as a muskie pro, obviously you do a lot of casting, and we muskie guys always are looking for follows and so forth, so we always stress wearing polarized sunglasses. So from a muskie fisherman's perspective, brand and shades do you like as far as, you know, fishing for muskies and polarized glasses?
Well, I would have to say the top-of-the-line ones that I enjoy are Maui Jims. They have great technology and the lens quality, as well as they have a nice mirror coating on the front surface and a non-glare coating on the back surface, so any glare you get even from behind doesn't reflect back into your eyes. So I think they're the best ones out there, and I wear them, Jim wears them. And I know some of our other muskie anglers certainly wear them, as well as from our muskie club wear them, too. So
now, are those a plastic lens, Lynn?
You know, they have both polycarbonate, which is kind of an impact-resistant material, which is great if you got a hook flying at you or something. But they also do make glass, which is probably the clearest lens, but it does have little drawbacks that way for safety. So the polycarbonate lenses would be the best for musky fishing, for sure.
And I'm assuming that those are probably preferred by lighter.
Yes, they are quite a bit lighter than glass as well, and they make quite a few different styles too. So the wraparound is usually great for on the water, so you're not getting a lot of light from the intense light from the reflections from the lake and whatnot. So that would be the best one I'd recommend.
How about as far as lens, color, shade, etc.?
You know, the two most popular ones are either the brown polarized or the gray. I like the gray polarized on a bright sunny day, but when it's overcast, the brown really kind of shines through. And you can actually use the brown in any light condition, but if you're real light sensitive, the gray one would probably be the best for you.
Now, how about, you know, you work at an optical place as well. From an optics place standpoint, do they stress wearing polarized glasses for eye protection?
Definitely. Not only does it help block glare from the water, but snow, car surfaces. And if you're a golfer, too, it's real important to protect your eyes in any light conditions as well as driving. So protecting it from the UVA, the UVB light, and you're filtering out that blue light, too, which is kind of damaging to the eyes.
So now you said the Maui Jims, which, okay, now I just bought a pair of a pair of nines. Now I got to go out and get a pair of Maui Jims, so I have all of them. Are there any other brands that you guys promote there or suggest other than Maui Jims?
Well, we carry Ray-Ban, and they're also an excellent quality. There's another brand called Carrera. They make a lot of polarized lenses as well that we carry. Also, Costa Del Mar is another one that's also excellent, being in a polarized feature for you, too. So those are some of the other brands that we would recommend and also carry.
Okay, good. Well, I got one of those then.
Good.
So, yeah. So, well, anyway, as far as for all our people out there listening, all the musky fishermen, can you brag a little bit and tell us what your biggest one's been?
My biggest one is 52. That was caught on Lake of the Woods, and my husband and I enjoy going up there twice a year. Obviously, this year, with the border being closed, we're going to miss our July trip, so we're hoping that opens soon and we can get back there again. So,
are you thinking that you'll be able to do the fall trip? Have you heard any word?
The last I heard is that they're going to be reevaluating the end of July again, so we're hoping for October. That would be the best thing that could happen, so...
Well, hopefully you guys get up there and you and Jim get some big monsters again. So anyway, we'll let you get back to work, Lynn. It's good talking to you. And
yeah,
always feel free to call with a fishing report.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for being on, Lynn.
Hey, you bet. Have a good day, you guys.
Okay, bye now. All right.
That was
great.
Lynn Dembeck.
Yeah.
And when I say one of the muskies, then I'm not kidding you. She has caught a lot of big muskies. If there's a Women's Muskie Hall of Fame, she should be in it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, coming up next is the Hornswoggle, which is brought to you by Carl's Country Market and Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. You can win some really nice prizes, so stay tuned. Be the first caller at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Play the Hornswoggle. Win prizes. You can't get much better than that right here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Mississippi Queen. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Baitmate Fish Attractants, Coleman Insect Repellents. Thanks for listening this morning.
And who do we have to play the Hornswoggle there, Sam?
Our contestant for today is Jim in Greenfield.
All right.
Okay,
good morning, Jim.
Good morning, man.
Okay, Jim, here we go. I'll make the statements, and you know what to do. Okay. If I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. If I'm saying the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. Number one, the Johnson Silver Minnow was invented in 1929 by Mr. Louis Hickenlooper.
That's a Hornswoggle.
Okay. I just love that name, Hickenlooper. You know, my dad used to call everybody Hickenlooper. Like, if there was some dorky mechanic at the gas station that worked on his car, he'd refer to him as Hickenlooper, and not to his face, but he was all saying Hickenlooper over there. Okay, never want to be a Hickenlooper. So here we go. Fluorocarbon fishing line has more abrasion resistance, but monofilament line is more invisible than the fluorocarbon.
That's a no Hornswoggle.
Nope, that's a Hornswoggle. Fluorocarbon has more abrasion resistance, and is both more invisible than the monofilament. Okay, so you're one out of two. And as Meatloaf once said, if you're two out of three, that ain't going to be bad. Okay. Dacron line works pretty darn good for tip-up fishing. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'd be no Hornswoggle.
All righty.
What was that response? I missed it.
He said no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. Give us a ring. All right, you're two out of three. You are another lucky winner on the Hornswoggle contestant. You can expect a certificate from Carl Country Meats. The good news is it's news is once you're in there, you're going to want to buy $100 worth of stuff, but the good news is it'll only cost you $90 with the certificate. And our good friends at Baitmate Fish Attractants will be sending you a prize package as well, so we'll put you on, or Sam will take care of getting your information.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks
Take
for playing.
Care. Thanks for listening.
All right. We got about 3 minutes here. You know what? When we come back from the break, Danny, I'll tell you about my fishing experience over the last weekend. It was actually all right. It was pretty good. It was all right, you know.
This isn't going to be another Lake X report.
No. But okay. One thing was problematic. My son's bow mount electric motor finally gave up the ghost. And as a matter of fact, we dropped it off by Anchors Away, over by John at Anchors Away in Waukesha. Dropped it off on Thursday so that they can put the new electric motor on it and do some wiring because, you know, all the gauges on the dash, none of them work. So he's got to do some wiring, put in that new electric motor, and we'll be off to the races then. But
so let me ask you, Tom, when you say it gave up the ghost, did it just quit work?
Yeah, he's been having problems with it where sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. Finally, it just died. It doesn't work anymore at all.
The reason I asked Tom is my electric trolling motor is 15 years old, and I got brand new batteries, but for some reason, it's just not powering up and going near as powerful as it used to be. So I went online and tried to search whether they can wear out, and apparently there's some brushes and possibly something else internally that can go, which need to be cleaned or replaced, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a young guy, I replaced those brushes in my power trim and tilt unit. It's not an easy job. And I think I replaced them. I did something to the electric motor years ago. But, you know, back then, you did all that stuff yourself, you know. And nowadays, you just take it to the guy, you know. The guy will handle it.
Everybody needs, you take it to Hickenlooper.
Yeah, Hickenlooper.
Everybody needs a Hickenlooper. Drop it off at Hickenlooper's. He'll take care of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, hey, he'll take care of those brushes for you. Just no problem there, eh?
Right. Well, you know what it's time for? It's time for the top of the hour break, and we got another hour to do, Danny. So we got more stuff. I'll tell you about the fishing report. I'll tell you about something about Anchors Away, and there was something else. Oh, and a place where we had lunch at after we went fishing. I got to tell you about that place. So there's a bunch coming up, folks, after 7 o'clock break. So stay tuned for more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer, with, of course, Sam on the boards. And Sam Schmitz, you're doing a great job today as usual. Thank you. And we'll be right back with more.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, it's a great day in the morning, folks. Glad you're with us. Call your friends. Tell them to turn on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Take a ride on the crazy train. I mean, we're in southeastern Wisconsin, but we talk about all things Wisconsin. If they pop up, we talk about them. Anyway, he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the boards, and we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We're live. We're unrehearsed, and sometimes we're full of crapola, but sometimes we hit it on the mark. You know, yay, we get a little wood on the bat. But anyway, you can always be part of the show by giving us a call at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. So, Danny.
Yay, we get a little wood on the bat.
Yeah, got to get a little wood on the bat once in a while.
Well, you know, you got a lot of old expressions, let me tell you.
Yeah. That's because I'm old.
Last guy I heard talk like that was a guy named Hickenlooper.
There you go. Yep. So anyway, so my son Chris and I, him and I, we go out on Father's Day fishing. And we went out to Pike Lake. Now, normally on Pike Lake, we catch a lot of pike. We really do. And I was expecting to take a legal one home to put on the grill. But no such luck. I only caught one pike, and it wasn't legal. But we did catch a lot of largemouth. And of all the largemouth we caught, we caught more than a dozen largemouth. Only two were undersized. That might have been like 13 inches. Otherwise, they were all running like 15 to 18 inches, and they were all fat. They were feeding good, that's for sure, without a doubt. And but what makes fishing hard a lot of times is, I'll tell you, that bow mount electric motor is one of the great inventions for fishing. Because, you know, we couldn't stay in a spot long. We were dependent upon the drift of the wind, you know. And if the wind isn't drifting right, you get blown off the spot. You got to start up the outboard, move out, back and forth. I mean, we kept doing that. And a number of times we anchored in an area. So it makes life tough. But I went over to Anchors Away with him. I had to show him where Anchors Away was. And even though he had his GPS on, I was arguing with him about, we were arguing in the car about how to get to Anchors Away. My way, I thought, was a lot quicker and shorter. He followed the GPS coordinates. It took us way out of the way. But anyway, we got there. And you know who Andy is, don't you, Dan?
Their
son, Andy?
Oh, no, their son, Andy, no.
Yeah, over at Anchors Away. He's a nice young man. He couldn't wait to see him. He was telling Chris when Chris saw them earlier in the week or talked to him on the phone. He said, you make sure you bring your dad with you. I haven't seen him in quite a few years, you know. So anyway, so it was nice to be able to catch up. But, yeah, Chris left his boat there. And, you know, when it comes to stuff, especially when it comes to electric motors, I mean, I'll tell you, John at Anchors Away really knows his stuff. He really does. But they got all kinds of stuff for your boats, you know, whether they clean it or whatever. I mean, they've got everything there that you need for boats. And I guess their May and June has been really excellent because I guess more and more people are going out boating. And so next week we'll be able to pick up Chris's boat and we'll have an electric motor. And I'll tell you what, Dan, if we would have had that bow mount electric motor working, we would have caught twice as many bass because we kept getting blown off the areas. Oh, and I did catch a walleye by accident. So
Pike Lake, that's one with the, there's a kind of a park on one side, correct?
And it's
near Hartford?
State Park, yeah, right. It's up in
okay.
Hartford.
Yeah. I got a story about that walleye fishing many years ago. It must have been about 1996, I think. I had moved to Cedarburg, and my brother Tim up in Oshkosh talked to me on the phone, and he said, you know, when I lived in West Bend, some of the best stringers of walleyes I saw came out of Pike Lake. Here's what you got to do. He says, you wait till the hottest part of the summer. Then you get there first thing in the morning at crack of dawn. You go out into about 15 feet of water over the deep weeds, put on a couple split shot and a crawler harness, and chuck a cast out and troll with your electric trolling motor. So he said, you got to go do that. Said, but I know you, Dan. He says, you're going to be out till 2 in the morning on a Friday or Saturday night. You won't be out there at 5 in the morning. And I said, no, Tim, I'm going to get out there early. So I and Ron Johnson at the time, that's one of the first times I fished with Ron, and Scott Olson, my deer hunting buddy, the three of us got out there at 8:30. And we were lucky to make it by 8:30. So we motor on out. I got this little aluminum boat with the cheap little trolling motor on the back, look at the clamp-on rod depth finder, and I say, well, it's about 15 feet here. I think there's some weeds down there. This must be the place. I launch a long cast with the crawler, go about 10 yards, rod bends, and I catch a five-pound walleye. Now,
wow.
You've never seen two guys tie on crawler harnesses faster in your life than Scott Olson and Ron Johnson, because they were both kind of bleary-eyed. But, you know, we did catch a bunch of walleyes, but they were all undersized after that initial. I always look back, and Tim was right. Had we been out there early in the morning, we probably would have slammed them. But I don't know if it's – I've never went back and done it again. I don't know if that's still possible out there.
Well,
Pike Lake was always known for an excellent, excellent walleye fishery. As a matter of fact, the DNR used to fight net walleyes out of there to get the eggs from them because they thought that the genetic strain from those fish was excellent, and then they would take that to their hatcheries. But the thing is that over the years, I mean, there's still walleyes in the lake, and it's not a real big lake. Maybe, I think it's like around 350, 60, 70 acres, something like that. There's a walleye club that meets, I think it's every Wednesday, that they're out there fishing and a lot of guys trolling. But it's not the walleye lake that it used to be. It over the years, it's got hammered pretty darn hard. But it has turned into an awesome largemouth bass and northern pike fishery. They also have really good crappies and bluegills if you can find them. So,
you know,
it is a good lake to fish, though. It really is, yeah.
There was a little, when I went there, Tom, we had to kind of drive around, I believe, to the, I want to say it was the northwest side of the lake. It was opposite from where that state park is. And
yeah,
there was
exactly
a crappie,
right.
There was a little white building. And I think that's where we paid, or it might have even been a bait shop. And there was a crappy little boat launch there. It was just a small launch, and that's where I launched. And when I went inside that little building, there was a article on the wall, newspaper article, about some 30-some pound pike caught, and they
right.
had a picture of it.
Right, right.
Right. And, you know, years later, when I was teaching, I actually bumped into a kid who told me that that was his uncle who caught the fish. Now, when I looked at the picture, Tom, it looked like maybe it's a 20-pound pike. It did
okay.
not look like a 30-pound pike to me. You know how these
oh,
things,
yeah.
it was a big
oh,
fish,
yeah.
but you know how these things get exaggerated?
Oh, yeah. I see that every Sunday morning.
I often wonder that the state record of 39 pounds out of Puckaway. I hate to be dubious. I know there's a ton of pike in there. It's Now, big pike need to have cool water in order to survive. I don't know if there's any kind of cold river inlet coming into Puckaway or some
yeah.
springs or what, because otherwise
I don't think
it would be possible.
Danny, I got to disagree. I don't think big pike need cool water to survive. They need cooler water to grow big. Because to survive, you know, their body temperature is whatever. But they do
well,
need
that's
food
what I mean.
In order
to grow big, in order for
right.
it to, that's kind of saying the same thing in different words.
Okay. I'll
yeah.
buy that.
So what I'm saying is, I don't think that lake would have the capability of producing a 30-pound pike. I'm sorry.
Well, everybody says it did. So what do I know? That was back in when? 1940-something or 50-something?
Yeah,
I know it was a long time ago. I can't remember when.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago.
I don't know what the how stiff they were on the witnessing and all that kind of stuff. You know where there should be a state record pike coming from should be up in Lake Michigan Bay of Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, and there probably is one up there. But, you know, it probably is, but it'll just die of old age somewhere.
Well, maybe... Randy Reading will go up there and try and catch one through the ice sometime. Also, I got to thank Randy sent me some Ned rigs. So I got some of the Ned rigs. I'll show them to you later, Tom, during break. So the Ned rigs are pretty darn good for the bass fishing. And if you outside, look at the, there's a shirt there. Cool.
There's a what out there?
A shirt next to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see it.
Yeah. Take a look. It's a really, really cool special design. Randy ordered that shirt for me. It's got a northern pike with an American flag.
Yeah, a camo American flag to boot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. Yeah, I was looking at it earlier. Yeah.
My new Lucky Fishing shirt, and I want to thank our good friends at Baitmate. They sent me my new Baitmate hat.
There you go.
So I'll be looking good.
How come you always get one and I never get one?
You know, you just got to ask, Tom.
Oh, I didn't want to just jump in there and ask him for stuff.
But you don't wear these hats anyway. You wear
no,
old
I only
hats
I wear
that
I
look
wear
like
the,
you know, like Hickenlooper wore at the gas station or
yep,
Uber.
I wear the cutting edge outdoors hat.
Yeah, you wear the ratty old cutting edge outdoors hat.
And I'll wear it until it falls off my head. Yep.
Well, it might. Either that or it'll start wearing holes in it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, we got to go to a break. It is, what time do we have? It's 7:14 in the a.m. We're rolling here on the Skipper Buzz Cutting Edge Outdoors. You can catch us on two stations. We're on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 1250 AM. That's Sports Radio, 1250 AM. So either AM or FM, we're here with you today. We're glad you're with us. We'll be right back with more. And we're brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants.
Okay, welcome back, my friends, to Skipperbud's Cutting Edge Outdoors from the Baitmate Fish Attractant Studios, so to speak. And on the line right now, I believe we have a fishing report. Les, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hey,
thank you.
Thanks for calling
Les.
In.
Good morning.
This is Tom Neubauer along with me here, Les. And I was talking with Les last night at our Park Avenue Pizza. And Les has a good fishing information to share. And you know, Tom, he's not like you, like where you like to keep all your secrets and stuff. Les is a generous, kind man who likes to see people catch fish, and he was more than happy to share. So I'll shut up and let you tell us what you've been doing.
Well, I had been fishing on Lake Mendota, which is in Madison, and the fishing for the last 2 weeks has really been spectacular. I've only been out three times, but in those 2 weeks, I've picked up my limit of perch on Mendota. So this was a great start. I don't know how long this will last, but it's there now. I was fishing on the west shore, so for the point that you want to know, I was out in about 12 feet of water just off the weeds and using... Well, there's a few things you can use. You can use the wax worms, or you can use red worms, a small piece. Put those on the line, put that on your line on your perch hook, and it could be silver or it can be gold. It doesn't really make any difference. And just sit there. I saw the best part of the fishing. It seemed to be earlier in the morning, like I guess every fishing is anywhere from say 7 o'clock to say 10 or 11. After that, she kind of dies out. But it was fun fishing. It hasn't been a great past a few years, but it just seems like right now they're there. The perch are there, and anywhere from 8 to 10 and a half inch perch. So you can't do wrong with that, and it's kind of fun. So that's some of the highlights of it. You just use your small fishing, you know, the lighter ultralight rods and maybe 8-pound test, and you could probably use a 6-pound leader and get out there and do some fishing. It certainly is good now. Like I say, I did notice it's starting to slow down a little bit now this past week, but I would think they're still there. So that's, and I think the reason that probably happened was is because there wasn't a lot of fishing this winter. The ice was bad on Mendota, so I'm not sure a lot of people got out. So maybe that helped the population back into the summer now. So anyhow,
Les,
that's what's happening.
Les, this is Tom. Got a question for you. Were you using a slip bobber or straight lining it?
No, we're just straight lining it straight down. Yeah, with a small sinker, and that seems to be... work out the best. And it didn't make any difference whether it was cloudy or sunny. Right now, it just seems to be just a good time to do your fishing. So I don't know what happens in the afternoon or in the evening. I'm just never there. I'm an early morning fisherman, and not real early, but like I say, 7:30 is fine. You should be able to do something, and that's what's occurring. Like I say, an ultralight is the most fun. Because then you can have a little bit. And the strangest thing about the last time out, there wasn't any white fish, or there weren't any sheep's head, or there weren't any bass fooling around with the line, which was really nice. So it was a lot of fun, and I cleaned my limit of fish and had a good time and had them the same night.
You know,
must
Les,
have been a terrific fish fry.
Yeah, I mean, Les was telling me he had three guys in the boat. They each got their 25. That's some pretty fantastic perch fishing.
Right. I haven't seen that in years. So I recall back 4 or 5 years ago, it was great. But things had changed when the folks up in Madison decided to put some muskies and some walleyes and some northerns and some of that, and that kind of attracted their feeding, you know, on perch and that. But so far, it's been pretty good. So I'll be out there again on Tuesday to see what's going to be occurring. Hopefully, anyhow, I don't have a boat. I fish with a couple of other guys who have the boat. So that's pretty much what's happening. I would think you could probably go anywhere on the lake right now. I think they're there right now. So you just kind of have to search for them. It's tough when you have to go into the weeds, because then it's really trouble. So anyhow, that's the hard part. I haven't had to do that yet.
All right. Well, it sounds fantastic, Les. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
It's a great report, and good to hear about some perch on Mendota again. And always feel free to give us a call if you. Do you just fish panfish, or do you ever tackle anything else out there?
No. But obviously the lake has walleyes, but they have an 18-inch minimum on that. So every once in a while you probably catch a walleye, which is small, and then you have to put those back. But not too many. Maybe one or two I've seen on my line.
Let me ask you, Les, about do you ever fish the white bass at all?
No, I do not. No, they're there, and usually, last year there was some white bass, but I don't fish the white bass, but certainly the lake does have them. So,
gotcha.
Not a lot. And the other thing is...
The reason I mention is when I went there with some kids years ago, we tried trolling crawler harnesses hoping to catch walleyes. We got a ton of big white bass doing that.
Oh, well... I'm sure if you get out into the deep with your crawler harnesses, I'm sure you probably could find some walleyes, because there are walleye fishermen out there, and of course there's bass fishermen out there too. So hopefully it's a change for this lake, because it's been pretty dead. I shouldn't say dead, but it didn't have a lot of attraction for fishermen, because there wasn't a lot of fish. So consequently, the other thing is if you can get a hold of some long greens and maybe cut those in a half or whatever and put those on your hook, you might have some luck too, especially to track them in. So you might want to do that as a start. So and then you have to find the fishing hole and then find where the schools are. So if you have a locator, then that helps you too. But they move, the fish move. So consequently, I think you can, and the other thing you always want to do, and this is something I'm sure most fishermen would do, is you find out where the boats are, and then, you can work that area too. So I think those pretty well tells you where you can find the fish and how to fish, and I think you'll be fortunate to find some fish. I'm not sure, like I say, how long this will last, but we'll see what occurs. That's pretty much the report.
All right, then. So the other thing, Les, will be, we appreciate it, and we'll be expecting an invite to the fish fry.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Les.
Yeah,
take care.
It's real good to talk with you, and you guys have a good day. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye now. That was Les. That's some good information. I just want to let people know that if Dave Olson from Studio 360 Photography was out in the boat, he'd be taking pictures with Les and all those perch. But if you're looking for any kind of photography work, Studio 360 Photography in Pewaukee. Danny and I can both recommend that place. Anyway, I think it's about time for another break, Dan. How about that?
I don't know. It's time 7:27. 7:27 in the AM. Oh, yeah. Traffic is light and variable on Edens.
Just one more thing. It's Discount Liquor's 60th year in business. No other liquor store has been local and original family-owned for that many years. There's a reason why they've been in business that long. Price, selection, and service. Go to DiscountLiquorInc.com for more for weekly specials and for more information. Okay, so I just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, balloons and stuff over the store, yeah. You know, kind of like...
I wanted to tell you, Dan, after my son and I were fishing on Pike Lake, we decided, my son wanted to take me out for a burger. So there's this place that, for years, I've been driving right by it, never saw it, all right? Never saw it because it's behind another building. It's right off of Highway 60, and it's called Big Guy's Pike Lake. And it's a bar, pub, whatever. And boy, I'll tell you, the burgers were good. The fries were good. The cold beer was cold, which is always good. And it was really good place. It was called Big Guy's Pike Lake. And they got a veranda or a, you know, outdoor seating venue where all the trees are cut so that you can see into, you know, at Pike. You can watch Pike Lake, watch the boaters and whatever. So, yeah, real nice place. Nice people, nice place, good food. So I can always recommend that. But like I said, it's hard to find. It's hard to find. You wouldn't even know if it was there unless somebody actually took you there.
Would you have to use the GPS or would your directions get you there quicker?
If you knew the address, you could use the GPS. Yeah.
Okay.
But even with the GPS, because, like I said, there's a building in front of it, and it's kind of like on a road behind this building, and it's off of Highway 60. You can actually see it from one part of 60, but only if you're looking for it. And if you're driving, you shouldn't be looking for it. You should be driving, you know, watching where you're going. So, yeah, but it's called Big Guy's Pike Lake. So, anyway, it was good. It was a good place, yeah, good place. So, with that, Danny, I think it's time to go to a break. It's... getting long in the tooth here. Here's another one for you. Long in the tooth. Here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are on 105.7 FM The Fan. Not .com, but just 105.7 FM The Fan. And we are brought to you by Bait Mate Fish Attractant. So stay tuned for more, folks. He's Dan, I'm Tom, and Sam is on the boards.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250, phone number if you want to give us a call with another great fishing report like Les's.
Yeah, that was nice. And, you know, I was going to tell Les, well, he's probably listening, that, you know, lakes are cyclical as far as the numbers of certain species of fish and the size of them. And, you know, Mendota is no different with the perch. I mean, some years it's a lot of fish, a lot of nice size ones, you know. And then some years it's down, you know, where there's not as many and what you have are small. So this must be on that top side of that cycle, you know.
But I do think he has something with that ice fishing thing, because I remember years ago.
Yeah.
They were getting the crap beat out of them out there. The ice fishermen were just, everybody and his brother were out there. And that has to have an effect.
Oh, it does, without a doubt. As a matter of fact, I think I told you the story. I knew a guy years ago, and he would go out to he was very good, by the way, at catching perch. And he would take two friends out with him, two people, different people maybe, different times, I don't know. But anyway, there would be three of them. And he'd go out to Mendota three or four times a week, and they'd catch their limits. And after a couple of years, you know, the size of the fish and the numbers started going down. And as it was going down, he was saying, boy, he says, the DNR's got to do something about this lake. He says, there's not many perch in it, and they're all little ones. Something's got to be done. The DNR's doing something wrong. And I said, you don't think you have anything to do with you and another 1,000 people keeping your limits 2, 3, 4 times a week?
You know, I mean, there's only so many fish out there. And when you think about all those people keeping all those fish, yeah, the size and the numbers are going to go down, you know. But I'll tell you what, if I would never mention who this is, because if somebody ever dropped a dime on the DNR about him, he was way over his possession limit in his freezers, way over. So anyway, but that's okay. He's not doing that anymore, so he has no more perch in his freezers.
Did he die, Tom?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Not yet. He's just not
fishing out there. Yeah. Gotcha. Not doing that kind of fishing anymore. But yeah, you know, people can do great damage to bodies of water. Even though Mendota's a large body of water, have you ever been out there, Danny, when you see 1,000 boats? I mean, I've been out there at times in the summer where in one spot there could be 100 boats, you know, all packed together. I mean, literally very close to each other. And there'll be like 3 or 4 or 5 of those spots where there'll be like 100 boats packed, and they're just pulling a perch after perch after perch. Eventually, there's not going to be that many big perch in there because they've been kept, you know.
So, right.
So that's where I'm glad they dropped the limit down to 25, you know, because it used to be 50.
Yeah.
Now it's 25,
I think that's more reasonable.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even mind it personally if they dropped it to 15. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. As a matter of fact, I think crappies should be at a 15 fish limit. I think 25 on crappies is still too many.
Yeah.
You know, just think, if you had 25, let's say 10, 11, 12-inch crappies, that's a lot of meat there. That's a lot, you know? And that's why I think 15 is, man, I think that's more than enough. But then again, that's just my opinion. Other people might have a different opinion on that. And some of the lakes around here, you know, they are trying that where you can have 25 panfish, but only 10 of each species, you know, or 10 of one species. So we'll see how that pans out, you know. So we'll see. You know, things are changing. You know, things are changing.
Hey, quick announcement here. Good news. DNR hunter safety classes are going to resume July 13th. Everything had been canceled. Basically, in-person hunter and recreational vehicle classes will resume July. Okay, good. So I don't know
when. We're back on?
I don't know when. Yeah. Technical difficulties here in the studio. I don't know when I...
Studio.
I cut out, but like I said, July 13th, so you could Google DNR and check into some of the recreational and hunter safety classes and find out what and when and how to do it.
You know, Danny, we pay for the use of a studio, but yet we don't get the use of a studio. I think they should give us a discount. What do you think?
Speaking of discount, I want to thank my good friends out at ZBART. As you guys know, I bought a new truck last year, and one thing I would recommend is what you spend, you know, $40,000-$50,000 for a new vehicle and you want it to last, they've got, you know, they still have their classic rust protection. And even though new vehicles don't rust like in the 60s, you know, when your 68 Impala, you know, had the fender falling off of it in 5 years, there can still be areas of rust. So I would strongly suggest taking it out there. Talk to Nate out there and get that done. Another thing I had to do for me, which worked great, I had what's done is the Z-Gloss treatment, which is like a special coating guaranteed for 7 years. I don't have to wax the vehicle, and it just makes the vehicle look great. So for all your needs out there, go out to ZBART. They'll do a good job and get your vehicle looking well.
All right.
And while you're at it, then you can go to that hamburger place you were talking about, Tom.
Hey, I got to tell you this one, Danny. I did not understand this, and I got a little upset. Okay, when I got my car back from the body shop, and I'm not going to mention any names, although I probably should, but I get it back from the body shop, and about a day later, my wife and I were going out someplace, and she looked and she said, what's that on the lip of the, you know, on the hood where the lip is, you know, where you grab it to lift it up and down? Right on the lip, there were two spots that were about 2 inches long and about a 16th of an inch thick
that weren't painted. And I said, well, how about that? They must have been, you know, taping the grill, and it went up a little high, you know, and you know, they got some tape by on the hood. So I called the body shop, and I said, I told them, you know, what, where there was no paint, and the guy says, well, if you want us to repaint it, just bring it in and we'll repaint the hood. I said, well, wouldn't it be easier, I said, if I just went out and bought a tube of that paint and he just reimbursed me for it? He said, no, we got to repaint the hood. I said, you're trying to tell me that it's cheaper to repaint the whole hood than giving me $15 to get this little tube of paint to touch it up myself? The guy says, yeah. And then that's when I got frustrated, because I didn't even ask him about, well, it's going to be at your shop for 2 days. Do you give me a rental car or what? You know, and I just said, you've got to be kidding me. And I hung up. Can you believe that a body shop says that they would rather repaint a whole hood, keep your vehicle for 2 days, repaint the whole hood, because there's two little spots that all you got to do is just take that touch-up paint and go over it? I don't know. I was flummoxed, you know.
You're flummoxed.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, flummoxed, man. I hate it when I'm flummoxed.
Yeah, yep. I know. I don't like being flummoxed. Yeah. So I went
tell
out and
Hickenlooper
I got it.
At the, I, tell Hickenlooper I out, over at the body shop
yeah,
where he can.
Exactly. I should mention their name, but I won't. You know.
No,
but,
no, let's yeah, not
no,
do
I'm
that,
not going
Tom.
To.
We're already,
but the thing yeah. is, I ordered a tube of the paint, and I got the paint, and I touched it up. And then I found two other spots on the lip, you know, above the lights, above the headlamps, you know. So I touched everything up, and it's fine now. But still. They're trying to tell me that it would cost less to repaint a hood than to just take that little tube of touch up and touch it up? Anyway, so that was that. So we got another break to get to. We got one more segment coming up, Danny.
For the week, then. Yeah, I'm
what's that for the week?
That's the gripe of the week.
What?
Yeah.
One more. Well, oh, my gripe of the week.
Yeah, your gripe of the week about the DNR body shop.
No, it wasn't a DNR body shop.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
The same guys who before Wally and Pease was ever even for sale.
Yeah, all right. I ate crow on that one. Okay, I was wrong. But then again, I don't get out there all that much. So, matter of fact, though, I do want to go out. You know what? The boat launch, though, that they have on Little Freeze Lake to get to a regular Freeze Lake. I'll tell you what, that is a perfect spot for kayakers and canoers. Perfect. Perfect. So, anyway, all right, Danny, we got to go to a break. So, okay. We got one more break to go, folks. Stay tuned with us. We got a few more interesting things we got to cover before we say hallelujah or whatever. What do they say in Hawaii? Aloha. Before we
aloha.
Say aloha.
Adios.
Yeah.
Das ist alles für heute.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean again?
Huh?
What does that mean again? Das ist todos, blah, 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 blah.
Das ist alles für heute. That's all for today.
Oh, that's all for today. Well, not yet. You got to wait till the end to say that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then okay. my German pickup line is Dane wie eine Blume.
What? Say it again?
I just told you, Tom, you're as pretty as a flower.
Say it again, though.
Du bist so schön wie eine Blume.
Oh, okay. I think I'll forget.
You're as pretty
that
as a flower. Very important pickup line, guys. Write that down if you ever, you know, crash land in Germany and meet a lass.
Yeah, there you go.
Blonde
a
hair
Fraulein.
And pigtails. A
yeah,
Fraulein.
You meet a Fraulein. Fraulein, yeah. All right, we got to go to a break, folks.
Fraulein
we'll be
Helga.
Right back. Yeah, stay tuned. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer.
Like
Sam Schmitz
nice
is on the board.
Helga.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We got another segment coming up. Don't run away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back for the last ride on the crazy train. Thanks for jumping aboard with us this morning. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. We want to thank all of our listeners and people who called in today, and hopefully y'all can get out and do a little fishing.
I have a fishing report for you, though, another one. My son Nick was out on Big Muskego just a couple days ago, and he went out in the evening, you know, in his kayak. He caught the biggest northern pike he's ever caught.
You're kidding.
And it might have been one of those, maybe it might have been a 40-incher. He said he couldn't measure it in the boat, in the kayak. There's no room to measure it. He said, but it might have been, you know, a 38-incher, a 40-incher. He said he's not sure. It was just long. But just like I had predicted years ago when they started that fiasco with that, instead of doing a slot size limit, this thing had a big head and a skinny body, you know?
Fish. Huh? Was he on Muskego? Is that what you said?
On Big Muskego, yeah.
Big Muskego.
And that's where they got that 40-inch size limit on pike when they should have had a slot size limit on pike. You know, he should have a slot size limit there because, and all the other fish that he's caught, all the other northerns he's caught out there have been slim bodies and larger heads. And that's going to happen every time you do something like that. And I'm surprised the DNR doesn't know that. I'm sure they, I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know. But they can always call me, you know, if they want info.
Yeah, right. I mean, they can talk to Tom, PhD.
Yeah. They can always call me.
Barstool so, University.
That's right.
Because he knows. Hey, I want a special thank you to my friend Tom, one of our listeners. He sent me a real nice, gave me a card and some liquid refreshments I found in my boat,
nice.
I forget where. It says, yeah. Congratulations on your retirement, and thanks for the best 104 hours a year of CEO shows.
So, oh, that's right, 104 hours.
See, you know how he figured that out, Tom?
He's got an abacus?
Well, we got a year, and we do 2 hours. So I'll give you a little time to get your pen and paper out, being as you're getting old and more feeble-minded as the weeks go on.
That's
right. And you can figure out how he did that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tom is one of our longtime listeners, and he always gives us gifts. And if Tom is listening right now, he better not give me a bottle of whiskey again this Christmas, because I kind of don't drink a lot of whiskey anymore. I don't do that. Now I'm drinking more beer, and I got a new favorite beer now, Coors Light. So
yeah, you know, I went through that Coors Light phase, and then I've come to the Miller Light, and I don't know. But life's about change, Tom, so you got to make change.
Yeah.
Now, wait a second.
But,
so you're not doing whiskey for health reasons. How about that burger you had this week that was supposed to be so good? Are you supposed to be eating those high-fat burgers, Tom?
That was a healthy burger.
It
was a healthy burger for me. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
The reason I'm not drinking as much of the Crown Royale or any, you know, bourbon whiskey that I do is because it just doesn't taste the same. You know, after the operation, coffee doesn't taste the same to me. I drink very little coffee. I don't drink as much whiskey except for maybe a few mixed drinks, you know. But I never drank a lot of beer, but I always liked like a Corona every now and then, or Samuel Adams Cherry Wheat. I like that one. But then I started having a few of these Coors Light, and I said, "Oh, this is nice. I like these." So that's what I got in the fridge now. So I think when I get sometime this afternoon, I'll be having a few of them out in the backyard.
Yeah, that's good, Tom. Nice that you're enjoying yourself and you can still just sit back and chill. Nice you're going fishing with your sons yet.
Oh, yeah. I'll be fishing with my kids as long as they're willing to take me. And I'm telling you, Danny, it was so funny. When we were driving out to Anchors Away, we were hollering at each other because I'm telling him to go one way and he wants to go the way the GPS is telling him. And it was so funny. Even though we were hollering at each other, we were laughing. It was so funny.
It does show a generational gap where people would rather follow a GPS as opposed to looking at a map and trusting themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to go by a gadget. And they're not always right.
No, they're not. And or not trusting the person that they're with saying, I've been there before. This is the way you go. And no, I'm going to follow this GPS, which took us way out of... It took us 5 minutes longer by the GPS route.
Gotcha.
Because sometimes the GPS route isn't always the best, so...
Hey, before we go, I think we got about 30 seconds. Tom, I've been thinking a lot about our idea about having the Gein Lampshade Company. I've been working on a couple slogans, so here we go. Geen lampshades. People are dying to get one. Or, how about this one? Geen lampshades. We've got a lot of skin in the game.
That's all we got, folks.
Okay, that's all I got.
To all listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skibberbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Go out, do something nice for someone today, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.